Good morning. The Hebrew Bible reading today is 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 20, and that's on page 236 of the Hebrew Bible, and in the large print, it's on page 306. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel!" And he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. The Lord again called, "Samuel, Samuel!" Got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again a third time, and he got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel!" And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make both ears of anyone who hears of it tingle. On that day I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told them that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew because his sons were blaspheming God, and he did not restrain them. Therefore I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be expiated by sacrifice or offering forever." Samuel lay there until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. Samuel was afraid to tell the visitors the vision to Eli. But Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." He said, "Here I am." Eli said, "What was it that he told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all that he told you." So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. Then he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." As Samuel grew up, the Lord was with him and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel was a trustworthy prophet of the Lord. The word of God for the people of God. All right, let's turn now to page 184 in the hymnal, Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it altogether. You pursue me behind and before and lay your hand upon me. It's too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Whither shall I go from your spirit? Or whither shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, let only darkness cover me and the light about me be night, Even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for you are fearful and wonderful. Wonderful are your works. You know me very well. My frame was not hidden from you. When I was being made in secret, intricately wrought in the depths of the earth, your eyes beheld my unformed substance. In your book were written the days that were formed for me. Every day came into being. How profound to me are your thoughts, O God! How vast is the sum of them! If I would count them, they are more than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God, and that the bloodthirsty would depart from me, those who maliciously defy you, who lift themselves up against you for evil. Do I not hate them that hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe them that rise up against you? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting.
Our epistle lesson this morning comes from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 6, verses 12 through 20. We found on page 158 in the New Testament section of your Pew Bible, or on page 206 if you're using the larger print edition. Paul writes, "All things are lawful for me, but not all things are beneficial. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. Food is meant for the stomach, and the stomach for food, and God will destroy both one and the other. The body is meant not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God raised the Lord and will also raise us by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Should I therefore take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that whoever is united to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For it is said, the two shall be one flesh. But anyone united to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Shun fornication. Every sin that a person commits is outside the body, but the fornicator sins against the body itself. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you were bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, so all right that it was, I'm going to offer you the opportunity to stand on the promises of God, to rise up as you are able as we go to the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to follow along in the Bible, as I always encourage you to do, pull out the Bible, turn to the New Testament on page 187. There you'll find John 1, 43 through 51, and it's on page 112 in the large print edition of the New Testament. Hear these words. "The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, 'Follow me.' Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, 'We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph, from Nazareth.' Nathanael said to him, 'Can anything good come out of Nazareth?' Philip said to him, 'Come and see.' When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, 'Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit.' Nathanael asked him, 'Where did you get to know me?' Jesus answered, 'I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you.' Nathanael replied, 'Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel.' Jesus answered, 'Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these. And he said to him, Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please be seated. Okay, this is an honest question. Does it feel to you like it feels to me that we've hit the ground running in this new year of 2015? Let me give you a church illustration of what I'm talking about. Last Sunday, we celebrated the baptism of the Lord. 4 Sundays from today will be Transfiguration Sunday, and then Ash Wednesday, the beginning of Lent. A little more than 6 weeks later will be Easter Sunday on April 5th. Now, it is commonly said that time seems to move more quickly the older you get. That's the way it feels like to me. But to make you feel better, Lent and Easter are actually very early this year, especially compared to last year. So that's some of the big picture of our biblical journey. Let me describe for you a closer view of the pattern of our life with God. Last week, as I mentioned, we celebrated Jesus' baptism, and we commemorated our own baptisms. From here on through Lent, we will follow Jesus' historic journey throughout the Holy Land as his earthly ministry develops, and as he makes his way ultimately back to Jerusalem and to the events of the Last Supper and his crucifixion and his resurrection. Last week, we overheard the voice from heaven when God spoke. God spoke through creation. And God spoke at many points throughout salvation history. Finally, God spoke in announcing the arrival of the true Messiah and the anointing of Jesus with the Holy Spirit. Well, today we have begun the stories of Jesus calling his 12 apostles, his closest followers, and we'll continue those stories next Sunday. But in very simple terms, here is the plot. God speaks, God calls, and God sends. God speaks, God calls, and God sends. Think back to the first reading that we had today that Jane read. That wonderful story of the boy Samuel who was ministering to the Lord under Eli. He was, in fact, apprenticing under the teaching and direction of Eli so that Samuel might one day be a priest in the temple. Now, if you remember back to the story, if you've read the Bible, clearly God had already spoken in the life of this young kid. His mother Hannah had prayed in the temple with Eli the priest, asking God to bless her infertility with a son. In exchange, Hannah promised God that she would then dedicate her son to the service of the Lord for his whole life. God had spoken in Samuel's life, but when God called Samuel by name, the boy did not yet recognize God's voice. Therefore, Eli said to Samuel, Go lie down, and if he calls you again, you will say, Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and dutifully lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as before, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, Speak, for your servant is listening. After that experience, clearly Samuel understood the patience and attention and focus that were all necessary in order to hear God's call. But how about you? Have you heard God's call on your life? What? Me? Why would God call me? You may well be asking. Well, let me be crystal clear. God is calling you into a life of love and service, a life of compassion and grace, salvation and eternal life. God is calling you because God loves you unconditionally and absolutely. Let me share with you a few lines pulled from Psalm 139. Listen carefully and know that the psalmist's words ought rightly to have come from your own heart. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain it. For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, that I know very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes beheld my unformed substance, and in your book were written all the days that were formed for me when none of them yet existed. My friends, it's true. God made you, God loves you, and God is calling you. And knowing that God knows you so intimately, I want you to think about your own baptism and those commitments, those promises, those vows that you made last week to God right here. Well, friends, we don't have enough time to do justice to the reading from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians that Daniel so bravely read. But let me pull out one critically important idea. God is absolutely concerned with how you exercise the beautiful gift of human sexuality, because God has given each of us an amazing gift of our physical body. But it goes far beyond sexuality. As Paul said, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you were bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. We could and should continue this whole discussion of God's instructions in how we are to honor God through and with our bodies. But for this Sunday, let me get back to our main theme. God speaks, God calls, and God sends. Tomorrow is MLK Day, when we ought to remember the life and the legacy of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Because clearly God had spoken into the life of Dr. King, and God had called him into service in the Church of Jesus Christ. Despite being comfortable as a church pastor, Dr. King had the patience and the attention and the focus to listen when God called. As we'll discuss a bit more next Sunday, after God calls, then God sends us out into the world as disciples of Christ. And very clearly, God sent Dr. King out into the world as a tireless fighter and champion of the human rights of all people. I want you to think about this simple story from the Gospel of John. It really does come down to a simple idea. Simple, but maybe not easy. As John describes it, the next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." I want you to think back to the time when you first heard any semblance of God calling you and how perhaps you learned about Jesus Christ. I came upon a wonderful quote from the book Resident Aliens, Life in the Christian Colony by Stanley Hauerwas and William H. Willimon, who is actually a bishop in the United Methodist Church, about this concept. Listen to this. Early Christians, interestingly, began not with creedal speculation about the metaphysics of the incarnation, that is, Christology abstracted from the gospel accounts. early Christians began with stories about Jesus, about those whose lives got caught up in his life. Therefore, in a more sophisticated and engaging way, by the very form of their presentation, the gospel writers were able to begin training us to situate our lives like his life. We cannot know Jesus without following Jesus. Engagement with Jesus, as the misconceptions of his first disciples show, is necessary to understand Jesus. In a sense, we follow Jesus before we know Jesus. And so, just like every other Sunday, just like we do every Sunday, and I pray that you do every day, we turn to the Bible, to the gospel lessons, to remember the stories of the life of Jesus of Nazareth. We remember these stories, or we hear them for the very first time. God speaks. God calls, and God sends. He found Philip and Nathanael, and he said to them, "Follow me." You cannot know Jesus without following Jesus. You cannot follow Jesus until you hear God's call. God is calling you into a life of love and service, compassion and grace, salvation and eternal life. God is calling you because God loves you unconditionally and absolutely. My friends, listen with your heart. Jesus is saying to you, "Follow me." Amen.